I don't think my mic is on. Is my mic on? Yeah, there's. Okay, that's good. I should take one of these home. Maybe. Well, I want to welcome each of you here today. Today's a special day across Christianity, but today we do commemorate and remember a celebration called Palm Sunday. And so if you have a palm, there were some in the back. We're going to, as we go through the service, this first song, the first verse of that song, the first stanza, I should say, just wave your palm back and forth. And if you don't have one, grab your neighbor's arm and wave his. And so as a result, we'd like to have you also be aware that there are two cards, one's blue and one's yellow. Those are for prayers, and we'd like to hear from you. If you're a visitor or a guest, we want to hear your prayers. And also on the other one, it's for attendance, just letting us know you are here. And we'd like to ask our members as well as our visitors to fill those out. So it's a way also for us to connect. So make sure if you have a phone number that you want us to connect with you about something, that you'll note that as well. We welcome you. And now something that we all look forward to is shaking and welcoming one another this week. Walk across the aisle and shake a hand. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. As we... Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of your holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from the book of Zechariah, chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore you to double. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from the book of Philippians, chapter 2. Have mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel this Sunday is recorded in the book of John, the 12th chapter. The next day, the large crowd that had come to the feast, Passover, heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel.
And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it's written. Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. His disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and had been done to him. And the crowd that had been with him, when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to bear witness of Jesus. The reason why the crowd went to meet him was that they had heard that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, we are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. And however, whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." Here ends the reading of our gospel. You may be seated.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this very day. Our text once again is taken from the gospel lesson, John chapter 12, verses 12 through 26. If you care to follow along, we would invite you to turn to the pew Bibles just in front of you, John chapter 12. That page number is 899. It goes from verses 12 through 26, John chapter 12. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly, for many of us are waiting for you, and not one of us shall be disappointed at your coming. In Jesus' name, amen. We talk in this text about a large crowd having gathered, a crowd that had come for the feast of Passover, and they had heard while they were in town that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And then spotting Jesus on a road, they cut down quickly branches of palm trees and went out to meet him. And they were crying out, "Hosanna," as they waved these palm branches and then placed them before the donkey upon which Jesus would ride, along with their Sunday best clothes. "And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they yelled, "even to the King of Israel." And Jesus was found on a young donkey that is sat on, just as it is written in the book of Zechariah. "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." Now, my friends, when you start to look at the Old Testament, and you look at the fact that Zechariah was written over 800 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, you have to be amazed and somewhat ask yourself, was this a coincidence or was it a God incident? That God would have prophesied in his words through the prophet Zechariah that his son, Jesus Christ, would come as the Messiah of the world, gently and riding upon a donkey. As you and I start to see it, Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, came mightily into Jerusalem? No. He came gently, mounted upon a donkey, not a strong steed or a team of horses, pulling chariots of war like the Romans would come into town. No, Jesus came humbly on a young donkey. And the crowds yelled out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And when we think about it, shortly after we got, after Desiree and I got here in October, we began to celebrate a season called Advent. Shortly after Thanksgiving. And when we celebrated that event, we remember that Jesus was that one that would be the one who was the coming king as a newborn babe of Bethlehem. As we began this church year, we heard of the coming of Christ. And he came born in a stable, born to Mary and Joseph. And the shepherds and the wise men, they came. But this Savior Jesus was so approachable. So cute. You'd want to hold him and touch him, and you knew you could approach him. This king, Jesus, now today rides gently mounted upon a donkey. Someone could walk up to it, touch it, hold it, talk with Jesus as he's riding on the donkey. And the crowds were yelling out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." This Jesus is approachable. Again, the Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is one that we can touch. God in the flesh. And again, we hear that he's coming again to receive us, to welcome us into his heaven, which he's prepared for us. But today we speak and walk and talk with the crowds. "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." As I look back on what the word Hosanna means, it's actually a Hebrew word that's translated into the Greek, and then they come up with some various words that they link together, and from that we come up with the word Hosanna. And what it really means is, "Save us, O Lord." It's a plea for salvation. As the crowd had cut branches and they took off their finest church-going clothes and lay them before the donkey on the path Jesus was riding on. This was a sign of homage, a sign of worship, but also a symbol of coronation of a king, a sort of ushering Jesus in to Jerusalem as he was going to be bringing them salvation and deliverance. You know, we've been together now almost 5 months. And as I've had conversations with you, as we've talked and we've prayed and we've chatted, the things that I hear most in our lives that's common is we're just like the children of Israel there. In our prayers, we want God to save us, to deliver us, to help us with these dilemmas. We need situations that are kind of sticky to be unstuck. We need things that are going to help us here and see Jesus in our life and in our world, and to have his hand of help. Yes, Jesus, deliver us. Our prayers are the same. Oh, save us, Lord Jesus. Why did the crowds gather from the known world at this time? It was because they'd come to the Jewish Passover. The Passover, you recall from the Old Testament, is the time where Moses and the children of Israel were held in bondage. Now, the Israelites had been held in bondage for over 400 years. And God had told Moses that there would be an angel of death that would pass through all of Egypt. And it would kill all the firstborn. Unless there was the blood of a sacrificial lamb that had been placed over the doorpost of their homes. And they told the Israelites so they would be spared. And the next morning there was weeping and gnashing throughout all of Egypt. And the Egyptians begged that the Israelites would leave. And that their God was more powerful than all their other many gods in Egypt. And they said, please leave us. Leave us alone. And the Egyptians ushered the Israelites out and told them to take whatever they would. That celebration of Passover was why the Israelites were coming into Jerusalem. Like Orlando, at any time I'm told that we have about 1 million visitors here in Orlando, any given day of the year. At least sometimes there's peak times where it's a little bit more, but about 1 million people plus all of our current population. And when we start to think about it, that's kind of like what Jerusalem was going through at that time. They were very crowded. They had a lot of people that were there visiting from around the world. But something else had happened during this Passover season. The word was out. Not only was Jesus in town, the one who had done all these miracles that they were telling about, water into wine, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised, and the lepers are cured, the lame walk. But there was a story of a dead man by the name of Lazarus who Jesus had raised from death to life. And he'd been dead for over 4 days. Now, if you understood the Greek or the Jewish culture, if you were dead for 4 days, it meant you were really dead. You were a permanent resident of that place. And they would post guards outside of the tombs to make sure whether or not you were dead. Lazarus was really dead. Now I remind you, how many days was Jesus dead and in the tomb? 3 days. And you know the thing that we understand from the Greek and the culture is that if you were a visitor, you were only a visitor someplace if you stayed 3 or fewer days. But if your company stayed 4 or more days, they just become real family and lived there. 3 days, you were just a guest. And if you think about Jesus and death and the grave, Jesus was just a guest of death. The grave was not going to hold him. The tomb could not stop him. Death could not defeat him. Jesus would rise from death to life. And that's what happened. And the crowds had seen this and heard about this happening with that dead man, Lazarus, who'd been dead, a permanent resident of the grave. And Jesus had called him forth, and out of the bandages of death and decay, Lazarus came forth. Lazarus was alive. Now, some Greeks came to Philip, and then Andrew and Philip went to Jesus, and they wanted to see Jesus. It reminds me of a story of our youngest son, Ethan. Ethan would be, we'd be in maybe watching TV or reading a book, and if we were reading a book and he was sitting on our lap when he was a little guy, just 2 or 2.5 years old, he would turn up and he'd see if we were looking at him. And if we weren't, he'd grab our face like this, and he'd turn our face to his face, and he says, I just wanted to see your face, Daddy. I just wanted to see your face. That's what these Greeks wanted. They wanted to see the face of Jesus. They wanted to see Jesus and how he had helped them. They wanted to meet this one who had raised Lazarus from death to life. They wanted to see Jesus. And I know that's what you are perhaps here for today. You may be wondering, is this Jesus real? You've heard a lot of stories about him. You've heard people who've had their prayers answered. You've seen people who've had help. And you've seen people who say they've been healed of sickness. And you wonder, Jesus? Could that happen in my life? Could it happen in my world? Could it happen in my marriage? Could it happen in my job? Could it happen in my family? I just want to see your face, Jesus. Do you ever want to do that? Do you ever want to just hold the cheeks of Jesus and say, I just want to see you at work in my life? My friends, Jesus wants to be there. Jesus really wants you to see his face. Jesus really does. And repeatedly, Jesus tells his disciples in all the gospel lessons, and especially in Mark 9 and chapter 10, and we heard this a couple of weeks now, that Jesus predicted what was going to happen. I want you to know that Jesus also has a plan for your life. And Jesus is going to tell us some things that are going to maybe be hard for us. Like, I'm going to answer your prayers, but it might be a while before you get the answer that you want. Or you might get a different answer. But Jesus does promise to hear and to answer our every prayer. And when you and I start to hear it, Jesus repeatedly told his disciples that the Son of Man must suffer many things, that he be spat upon, scourged, handed over to the Gentiles and the Romans and die, but would be raised on the third day. He repeats this message multiple times so this group of disciples would hear that he's going to go through all of this, but for meaning and for purpose. I am reminded that Jesus then says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth, it dies, and there it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Simple farming. Now, my mom and my dad, my mom wanted to plant a garden. My dad had it rototilled, you know, turned out the soil and got it prepared. And my mom then dug little holes, and she said, now, you see all those kernels of corn, those corn seeds? She said, I want you to put one seed in every one of the holes that I'm digging. And I did. And it amazed me. Because what happened there was God was going to do a miracle. And it was just like Jesus had said, if you put the seed in the ground and it's buried and it dies in the ground, does something else happen? Yeah. With a little bit of rain, a little bit of sunshine, God made that soil and that seed grow up. And I started to see little tiny shoots grow out of the ground. And then out of those little tiny shoots, I saw a stalk emerge. And that stalk got bigger, and finally it grew taller. It was taller than me. And then I saw on that stalk, there were kernels. Yes. No. They were entire cobs of corn. And as a result, I saw those on that stalk, cobs of corn, not just one or two, but many, from the bottom to the top. And from that one tiny seed, all of this life had emerged. Jesus compares his body to this. He says, a kernel of wheat, once it's buried in the ground, it dies, and it springs forth and brings life, bearing much fruit. Likewise, the death of Christ, the one promised seed born of Abraham, Jesus was the one that would bless all nations. That one seed, Jesus, is the one who would be crucified. And through his death upon the cross, would spring forth from death to life. To one? No. To many seeds, the first fruits. I want you to go home and open your Bibles to John. And at the very end of John, you're going to see, towards the crucifixion account, the torn of tearing of the temple curtain top to bottom, you'll see something else happens.
You know what it was? It says the saints in Jerusalem, the tombs were opened. The death of Christ brought forth the life of many who believed in Jesus and awaited his coming. It was through the death of him brought forth life to many. And you start to read that in the Gospel of John, that at the crucifixion, the death and the burial of Christ, life emerged. And on Easter, of course, we remember that Jesus himself would rise from death to life. And we, of course, remember that Lazarus would rise from death to life. And some 50 days later at Pentecost, a simple seed that had been planted into the ground, namely Jesus, gave birth to an entire new church. It was the Christian church. And the death and the burial and resurrection that seemed to be the end of Christ was actually the beginning of Christ and an entirely new church called Christianity. And in the very city that crucified Christ emerged this church on Pentecost Day, as Peter and Paul and the other disciples had apportioned and spoken the words of Christ. The Holy Spirit being in their midst, we are told that 3,000 more people believed and were baptized. If you read on further in the book of Acts, you'll see that type of thing was happening daily. But it really goes back to what the crowds were asking. Hosanna. Lord, save me. That's why the crowds were responding. That's why the crowds were coming. Is that why you're here today? Are you saying, Lord, save me? Save me from my sins and my life? My very own flesh? Save me from where I am now? Save me, Lord, from where I've wandered off. As one of your sheep that has strayed, I just can't find my way back to the flock. And I need you, my good shepherd. Lord, save me. You are indeed the blessed one who came for me in the name of the Lord. You are my good shepherd who has laid down his life for me, his sheep. It's only through your death, Jesus, that you have and will continue to give life to many of us, all of us who believe in you, even all nations. That includes me, includes my friends, includes my family, my co-workers, my neighbors. Lord, save us all. Help me to see what you have truly done and how big a deal it really, really is. Jesus said, whoever loves his life loses it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone wants to serve me, he must follow me. And where I am, my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. That day the crowds yelled out, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they cut down, as you remember, the branches, cast their clothes off their back, and laid them before Jesus. But today, Jesus says to us, to hate our life, to think of it as less than pursuing that which is today just earthly, but rather to grab for the things that are really eternal. And if anyone would serve Jesus, we must be also willing to follow Jesus. It's about a relationship with our Redeemer, not just checking off the box, going through the motions, same old, same old. Once you and I see the greater of value of knowing Jesus compared to the earthly treasures and trinkets of life, we will want to follow him. We'll want to let him lead as we dance through the days of our life with him. Where we see Jesus serving and helping and loving others, that's where we'll be also. Yesterday, Desiree and I were at a cottage meeting at the Phillips home. And one of the people there said something that I thought was really, really neat. She said, when my mother-in-law died, Trinity loved us in such a way that was so personal.
They brought us food. They gave us cards and called us. They surrounded us with their love. They tried to help us in whatever ways we needed and wanted and could. And they were always there. Now, I know that we're not a perfect church, and I'm not a perfect pastor, and you're not a perfect member. But what I do know is this, that the hallmark of being known as a disciple of Jesus Christ is that we love one another. We've got a great church. It's 100 years old almost. And we've got a great school. It's almost 60 years old. But you know what? The thing I hope that we're known for in this community is that we love one another, and we love our fellow man as ourselves, and that the world, the community, the Orlando residents can say, there's a church where the love of Christ is shown in all that they do. And that they might say, as they did in the Bible of the early Christian church, oh, how they loved one another. That, my friends, I pray is our signature ministry. Trinity Lutheran Church is known for our love. May the blessing of our Lord and Savior Jesus abide on us all as we seek to love one another through all the opportunities that we have each and every day, that we reach out with the love of Christ, because that's where Jesus is in our midst. And may the Lord bless you in your efforts as you do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thanks. Thanks for the coming into Jerusalem gently and mounted upon a donkey, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah, reminding us of the promise of all your word throughout scriptures that tell us of your coming, that tell us of your salvation and of your love and your forgiveness for us. You tell us also, O Lord, that you're coming again, that you might receive us unto yourself, to take us to that place which you have prepared for us. For this we give you thanks, Lord Jesus. We thank you also in this life that you came in flesh, that we might see you face to face, that we might see you and be able to touch and behold your glory, to see with our own eyes through the witnesses of humanity that did, and to be able to hear with their own ears the words you spoke, and to touch and behold the glory that had risen from death to life, and to see, O Lord, that you are indeed the Messiah, our Savior. We thank you for those who were there and who witnessed these things. And we ask your blessings upon us as we hear and as we receive your words, accepting them and believing in them. Help us, O Lord, to also trust in them, believe in them, and to live with them, embracing them in our very daily lives. Lord, in your mercy, Lord and Savior Jesus, we pray that you would be with our church and with our school. And as we know that as we come together to hear of your word, to be worshiping you and praising you, to receive the Lord's Supper and to hear the messages from the pulpit, your word that's eternal and the very power that you use unto salvation. And that the children are taught the truths of your holy word and are there shaped and molded as young disciples. Help us never to forget the main thing, that you have come to love us, that we might love one another even as you have loved us. Help us, O Lord, to do that daily. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers spoken and requested for those assembled.
Heavenly Father, we ask the congregation to ask prayers and supplication for the following. For Eugene, who is hitting in the hospital, he's hospitalized with cancer. Be with him, guide him, help him, protect him. For Erica, who is having medication problems, dear Heavenly Father, we also ask your blessing upon Tammy. Pray for Tammy as she moves forward with a new diagnosis for Alzheimer's disease. Guide us, help us, and protect us. For Mike, Mike is recovering from surgery and future care from the severe health of concern. Guide us, help him, and protect him. For Leon, Leon is, we ask that you be with Leon, is having some health problem. Return him to his normal self, dear Heavenly Father. Guide him, help him, protect him. We ask you to be with Michael. Mike, we pray for Michael for healing from recent fall. Be his guide, his helper, and protector, Heavenly Father. For Emily, for peace of mind and consolation with things that are transpiring in her life. For Jonathan, we ask for healing and speedy recovering from a fractured tibia and a torn ACL. Give them peace and understanding, Heavenly Father. For Daniel, Daniel is traveling in India. Be his guide, his helper, and his protector, and give him that travel mercy that only you can give. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer. We pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking the form of a servant, becoming obedient even unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had broken it, he gave it unto his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given unto death for you." Likewise, in the same manner, after he had supped and had given thanks, he took the cup and blessed it, and he said, "Take and drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." This cup which we bless, is it not the participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not the participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. Morgan, your first name, Natalie, and Lucas, right? Say what again? Nicholas, Natalie and Nicholas. Jim?
have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. O God the Father, the fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. I've got one at the end.
Good morning, Trinity. Good morning, guests. First slide is a thank you to all the participants and volunteers who made and those who participated in making the Jesus Community Easter event yesterday a success. I guess it went so well yesterday that they extended it and made that opportunity available this morning. And we see the Wileys dressed in costume yet. Or maybe you're going to come this way every week. I don't know.
I wanted to ask them to actually walk up this way. I wanted to ask them something. So if you could come up as during these announcements.
Holy Week continues with services not Wednesday this week. Monday, Thursday, and Good Friday, 12:10 and 7 p.m. The Easter Vigil services Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sunday morning Easter services begin bright at 6:30 for the sunrise worship service on the front lawn, followed by the regular services at 8, 9:30, and 11 a.m. And there will be a pancake breakfast by the youth from 7 a.m. to 11 a.m. in Fellowship Hall. The proceeds will support their National High School Youth Gathering next year. If you see someone new in worship today, and we have some guests here today, take time to greet them. If you're a guest, take time to say hi to somebody. And the Comfort Dog Ministry is set to have a dog sometime in June. So the Trinity Comfort Dog Ministry is now collecting puppy supplies to prepare for the arrival of our comfort dog. The puppy shower display will go up on Easter morning in the narthex. And then, of course, as always, look in your Trinity Weekly for details on that. And most importantly, there's a meeting on April 9th. This is Monday night. It is a regular scheduled voters assembly starting at 6:30, Monday, April 9th, to go over the regular order of church business. So this will be a Monday night, not a Sunday afternoon. Thanks.
Thank you. I would just like to say that we've got some pilgrims from, where did you actually migrate from? What part of the world are you from?
Israel.
Israel. Okay, and you've come here to our wonderful city here in Jerusalem, and could you tell us what's going on?
It's a very sad day because we found that our religious leaders have condemned Jesus, our Lord, to death. And not only that, they want him to die on the cross.
And that's going to happen when?
Sometime today. And we're all sad.
Yes, it's a very sad day. The Jewish leaders are telling lies about Jesus. They are afraid that he will take their power, and they want him to die on the cross.
Well, as you can see, they were in character and are dressed in character, and I invited them to go to lunch tomorrow with us. And so I don't know if you kept the clothes on for that or not.
We didn't bring any clothes to change into.
Well,
I think it'll be too smelly by then.
But I do want to say it was a lot of fun. One of our elders, Brennan, his face and his picture, he portrayed Jesus, and he had long hair, and he has his beard, of course, but it was a wonderful event, and I just want to say thank you to everybody who participated in leading this. Could we thank them, Trinity? Brennan says it was nice to have hair again. I do want to say to you also that you may have noticed if you came in through the narthex, there was a picture of Luther in the Reformation. It was commissioned by a man by the name of Kim Klein, who is here with us today. The picture is of Martin Luther, and it's Here I Stand, and it's to commemorate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. It's visiting us here at Trinity today, and it was here last night, and so we wanted to have you have a chance to see it today. So if you wish to go back there, just take a look at it. He'll explain some of the things in it and answer any of your questions. God be with you. We're going to be doing a lot of worshiping this week, so get ready to worship Jesus, our newborn King, our Lord, who comes in a gently mounted on a donkey, and who's coming again, risen from the dead. God's blessings.